Welcome to the First Time Facilitator Podcast. Whether you're a first time facilitator or a seasoned pro, listen in for tips and tricks to make a bigger impact at the next workshop you deliver. And now, your host, she refuses to watch anything with spooky music, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you create unpredictable workshop experiences that predictably work. Now, last week on the show, we had Steve Sims. He is like the Wizard of Oz. He makes incredible things happen. For example, if you want to learn how to build your networking skills, he'll run a workshop for you, and then you get thrown into Sir Elton John's Oscars after party to practice how to network. Is there no better way? So tune into that if you're curious about learning more. This week, I've got another best of episode. I'm resurfacing some of the conversations I had a few years ago because they're still gold. They're even more relevant right now. And this week, I brought on someone who's actually changed her name. So not in the changed her name in a branding perspective. And the reason I brought her back on is you'll hear, I don't really need to spruik how awesome she is. You'll hear that in the conversation, her energy, her flair, her likability factor. Now I'm looking actually, I'm doing a bit of research about likability, and I'll talk more about it in future episodes on why I do think that is a key skill. Is it a skill or a key branding perspective, likability? Anyway, when she was on the podcast a few years ago, her name was Dana the Trainer, but over the last few years, this is what I love about her approach and how she brings in all her favorite things and services to clients. She's now called herself Diversity Dana. So it just shows that we can be experts in something, and then through, as a solopreneur, you get opportunities and you may be more curious about a topic and how you can actually be agile and make that change. In this episode, when we spoke a few years ago, we talked about ways to make your workshops more fun, more colorful, more engaging, how to balance and lift the energy levels in your workshops, and her process for creating workshop content as well. I wanted to introduce her using her own website copy, so I'm going to be reading it out in first person on her about page. So this is the way that she talks about herself, which I think is awesome. Here's how it starts. My favorite word is the F word. Fun. Wait a minute, what F word were you thinking about? Seriously. As you can tell, I take an unconventional approach to learning, focusing on fun, color, enjoyment, and making things as practical and relevant as possible to make sure that key learnings make it back to the workplace. What is it that I facilitate? Great question. I have my fingers in many pies, but my three core areas are, drumroll please, diversity and inclusion, train the trainer or coach, and agile. And if that sounds like an eclectic mix of things that shouldn't go together and make no sense, you're going to have to read the rest of my bio to find out how and why it came all about. To confuse you even further, I sometimes even dabble in some management and leadership bits, but that's a story for another day. So I'll absolutely link to, oh, by the way, I'm back in third person now. I'm going to link to Dana's bio in the show notes. You can read the rest of that and hear more of her story, but she'll also share that in the podcast. So a couple of announcements before we jump right in. First of all, I'm so excited to let you know that I'm partnering with Slido, the Slido app, and we're running an event. We've created an annual trends report that I've contributed to, and it's about the online meeting revolution. So this event is going to be on the 14th of April. It's going to be a live stream, and it's free, and I'll pop the link to register in there. I'll be joined by a panelist from a former VP of Twitter, a senior vice president of Salesforce, and we'll be sharing tips around this revolution and how to make your online meetings even more engaging and relevant. If you'd like to join the conversation when the podcast is over, join our community of over 1,300 facilitators on the Flipchart. What else? If you'd like to support the show, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/Leanne Hughes. Your coffees inspire the inspiration and ideas for the show. And of course, show notes with all the links can be found at firsttimefacilitator.com/episode 166. Enjoy this best of, and don't forget to reach out to Dana. Enjoy the show. She's on the line in London. Welcome to the show, Dana James Edwards, otherwise known as Dana the Trainer.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I really wanted to just jump right in and talk about an excerpt I read on your website, which I loved, and probably the reason why I invited you on the show. And it's this. One day there was a call for internal facilitators for technical courses, and I answered the call. The second I held my first box of scented markers and stood in front of a blank flip chart, I fell in love. That's just so beautiful. Can you tell us about that moment? What was it that made you fall in love with facilitation?
I had actually done some facilitation before, but very briefly, like my first job out of university, and then got swept up in other things. So when I was offered the opportunity after working in sort of a very technical and technology focused background for several years, it was almost like I had forgotten that I loved this. And the second that I got back in front of there again, I felt at home. You know how people feel nervous in front of a classroom? I didn't feel that. I felt like, oh my God, this is amazing. When can I do it again? And I also really love scented markers. It's true. Love them.
What type do you use? Do you use the Mr. Sketch scented markers? Are they over in the UK?
So I have loads of Mr. Sketch, but to be honest, these days I'm going for the environmentally conscious option and using Newlands, the refillable ones. Yeah, but they're not as fun as the scented ones. So I do keep those for the learners in the classroom.
It is funny, those scented markers, what a kind of response you get from people that just want to try every color and sniff the piece of paper.
All the time. It's like they forget they're grown-ups and they go straight back into being kids, and I love it.
I was a lot of people ask me how I find my guests, and it's all through different things. It could be recommendations or books that I've read, but you're the first person I've interviewed who I found off Instagram. Now,
hey!
Yeah, that's how I found you. I was looking through all the hashtags, like hashtag learning and development, hashtag whatever, public speaking. I don't know what the tag was, but something about your brand online really enticed me because it was full of color. And this is why I was talking about the sketch markers and the scents and everything. And you just have that really fun brand. So I'm wondering.
My social media strategy is working for me. I'm so excited.
And you've got that recorded. So, you know, I'm not making it up. This is true. Yeah, absolutely. So it was only a couple of weeks ago. I was like, who is this Dana the trainer? I was curious. So tell us a bit about your brand and what is it about the energy and how do you bring that into a classroom kind of setting?
That really is my brand. It's about energy. It's about passion. I feel especially in a technical setting, lots of times people come in and they're dreading the day or the 2 days. They think it's going to be really boring. They're picturing like old school learning where you get a big fat manual and you have to learn off all of this theory. Or there's an exam. Some of the courses I do have an exam at the end, and you can see people coming in. They're already stressed out and you haven't even started. And I just think, gosh, it doesn't have to be this way. I think that's the point. And really, it doesn't. There are so many things that you can do to bring learning, to bring a classroom alive, to make things not be so painful for people. I think that is my aim. And I'm so glad that that comes across. I love color. I love things that are engaging. I love drawing people in. And if you're on a training course where you're just looking at a manual for 2 days and it's really just intense and intensive, you aren't learning for the exam. I don't want people to learn for the exam or for the now. I want them to actually leave with stuff that they'll remember for a long time. How do you do that? By making things memorable. And that means by mixing things up, by doing things in a different way.
Fantastic. Now, just for the audience, what type of courses do you run? What are the technical courses? What are those professional skills that you can also deliver?
Okay. So, you know, everyone says to specialize. And when I was starting out, I had lots of advice, which is like, you need to pick a specialism. You need to pick either soft skills or pick a soft skill that you're really good at or pick technical skills. I can't do that. I spent so much of my life working in a technical arena. Those are skills that I have and I don't want to lose. And then at the same time, when I became a facilitator for Big Four, all of the soft skills courses are wrapped up into that. I kind of see them going hand in hand. So from a technical perspective, I facilitate things that I learned how to do in my life when I was technical. So project management, agile, Software testing, right? That's my background. That's the kind of thing that I do from a technical perspective. But you cannot really do all of those things unless you know how to talk to people, how to interact with them, how to communicate. They go together, right? Okay, so I don't want to choose, right? And I do both. And I think it's great because I never get bored. There's always stuff that's interesting me and pulling me. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to do the one thing, okay? I want to do many things.
You can have everything. They're not mutually exclusive, and I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about things like project management and agile, and obviously some of your audience will be technically focused people, and it would be very tempting to try and like meld in with that style. But I love that you're exploring and saying, no, we can make this fun. We don't have to be serious.
That's exactly.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear a bit about, I mean, you've got this, I can tell over our Skype conversation, a very bubbly, outgoing personality. Growing up, were you always this way? Were you always very confident in front of a classroom?
So I was a bookworm. My sister makes fun of me. When I was in secondary school, I was a library prefect. I was that quiet. On a lunchtime, I like to go to the library and read. So I was a lot about books, about reading. I wasn't like an outdoor Miss Popularity kind of person. However, I have to say I was really good at debate. So like from sixth form, there were debate and public speaking competitions, and I really excel there. I am a bubbly person, but I can't actually pinpoint maybe when this all happened. Maybe at university when I was a little bit more free. I'm not sure. But if I look back through childhood, I was definitely a lot quieter and maybe more reserved, very studious. I'm one of those exam people who love exams and achievements and that kind of thing. So maybe it was that I was wrapped up in all of that achievement at the time. And then Dana the trainer, this bubbly person, came a little bit later.
Yeah, I love how you talk about Dana the trainer as a kind of another person or a personality. I was looking at your website, and it's, again, the first website I've seen where you have your own cartoon series. I mean, that's incredible. How did you get that idea? Where did that come from?
That was what I like to call a shower thought. So my best ideas come to me when I'm in the shower.
Don't they always?
And I thought, they always do, right? Yep. And I thought, how fun would it be to have this? And I spent a long time looking for graphic designers, etc., to be able to help me with the idea. And it's just something unique and fun that you don't see very often. No, so it just popped into my head and I did it.
I think I was looking through your cartoon series, and the one that really popped out for me, because it's something that I do as well, is the one where you're in bed and it's like 9 o'clock in the evening and it's the night before a workshop. And you're like, yeah, I really need a good night's sleep because I need to be on my game tomorrow. And then 3 to about 12:30 in the morning, you're still thinking about how will the session go, who's in the room.
That is my life in a cartoon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. And I thought I was I'm overthinking things too much, and maybe like the more that I do this, the easier it will get. But I find that I'm still over-preparing. Is that what you're finding as well? Or you're still kind of overthinking it because you want it to be great?
You do. This is yourself. It's your brand. You're invested. You want things to go really well. And I did tell myself at the beginning, you know what? The more practice you have, this is going to be great. You'll be going to sleep earlier. But still, even when you know the content and you're familiar with it, you're still thinking about who's going to be there tomorrow. What if this exercise doesn't work? What do I have as a backup for this? Did I pack this thing? I have a packing list. You just get so wrapped up in everything, I think.
Yeah. So what kind of things are on your packing list?
So it depends on the type of session. But I will always have Sharpies or Mr. Sketch markers, depending on what we're doing. I always have my trusty speaker. I do love some music in the classroom, so I'm a big fan of that. Whatever exercises we are using for the day would be packed in there, and that sort of varies between. I love doing paper airplanes at the end of the day to recap key learning points. I always have some colored paper. I also lately have been super in to getting delegates to use pipe cleaners to create their key learning points. And so I take some of those with me. I also have something that I call the magical treat bag. When groups are really competitive and someone says something really amazing in the session, or they win a game or an activity or something, it's always good to have a reward. So I have this massive bag of candy that I take everywhere with me, so that learners can pull from the bag. Also, if people are feeling a little bit low energy, they can have some treats and stuff in the classroom. For those of you who are listening and saying, oh my God, that's super not healthy, it doesn't matter. It's one day of training. It's fine. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think, I always have those kinesthetic learning toys. A, because they're fun, and B, because it gives some people something to fiddle with. And also, when they come into the room, it sets the expectation from the outset that things are going to be a little bit different, and gives people a bit of a talking point before they even come into the room. So I quite like that as well.
Yeah, nice.
Pens, pencils, notepads, everything that's branded and says Dana the Trainer on it is there as well.
It's like you were born to do this. Like, your name just rhymes with trainer. It's perfect. I love...
Exactly.
I really do admire your brand. With these, so I would like to talk about when people come into your room and they see this environment. So you set it up, you've got pens, it's very colourful, especially for the technical people. They aren't expecting it. How then does that create that mood?
That is actually my favourite moment of the day. When people start arriving and they're like, okay, this is totally not what I was expecting, especially when it's the first time that I've been to a particular company and you could see it on their faces, and some of them exclaim out loud, and like, this looks fun, this looks colorful. And I think it sets the tone and the mood for the day. But especially for technical courses, I love it because no one's really expecting it. So it's great.
Do you get some people that are a little bit awkward and don't know how to really react to it, or get into the kind of being a kid and having fun? Let's take a bit of time.
It is rare when that happens. Mm-hmm. Usually the opposite happens, which is they get super into it and they choose their seat based on the toy that they want to play with most. There might be some people who start off being more reserved, but by the first break of the morning, especially if the rest of the group is swept up, they are into it as well. Mm-hmm. So it might take some a little longer, but usually by the end of the day, they're embracing things.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. So we're talking about the participants entering room at the beginning. How are you feeling about, 15 minutes, 10 minutes to go to the workshop? What do you do to prepare? Or are you already in the room greeting participants? Are you doing your power pose? What does Dana the Trainer do?
So I am in the room and I am greeting the delegates the 10 to 15 minutes before. I'm there. I'm talking to people. I'm reviewing, taking minutes in between to just review what's coming up. I am not power posing. The power posing would happen maybe before that 15 minutes when no one is there. And I'm going to say something that is completely crazy. Leanne, maybe you want to edit this out after I'm done saying it. What really gets me hyped up and in the mood right before a session is hardcore gangster rap.
Woo!
I love it.
I love it too.
Go to songs. They're on my iPod. Sometimes I excuse myself to the loo and I just go in there, have a little listen if the energy levels are feeling low. Sometimes I can manage to do it with one side of a headphone just in the classroom. But like, hype music, I love it. I have my game face on and ready to go for the day.
Yeah, I love that because it's something that I do as well. I've got a mix of sort of like rock and a bit of rap and hip hop and stuff like that. So I've created a Spotify playlist called First Time Facilitator, and it's just got all my favorite, like even some ballads are on there that you can just croon along to in the car, put right up, because you've got all that nervous energy that's floating around.
It has to come out somehow.
It has
right?
to come out. You can't like just go in the boxing ring or anything. You've just got to unleash it somehow. So Isn't that nice to know that we're on opposite hemispheres and we both prep the same way?
Aligned.
We're aligned. I'd like to talk about energy as well. So it's very easy. I mean, yeah, the worst thing sometimes is that you don't get that good night's sleep because you are overthinking it, and then it gets to 12, 1, and you're like, I really need to sleep now. But naturally, you've got that adrenaline that gets you through in the morning. But days, you know, 1, 2, 3 day workshops can be quite exhausting. How do you sort of balance the level of energy you're giving out to the participants, and how do you, make sure that you're in there for the long haul?
So I saw this question on your list and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to answer this and everyone's going to hate me when I say this.
I don't think so.
I wake up this way.
Jealous.
I know. What's really interesting is when I met my now husband, there was one day when I came home and he was like, we need to talk. And I was like, oh my goodness, he's going to break up with me. But actually the talk was, you wake up in the morning and it's like you open your eyes. And in that 1 second, you go from 0 to 100. And I don't work like that. Can you please stop being so high energy in the morning? And so we've worked out a strategy where I don't talk to him for the first 30 minutes of every day because he's not a morning person. But I just naturally have high reserves of energy. And I always find that after the first day of a workshop, I can sleep better. So like all that angst and staying up until 12:30 a.m., by the end of the first day, A, you're exhausted, and B, you've eliminated all of those things that you were really worried about the night before the first workshop. Mm. So getting a good night's rest on the first night kind of sets you up for the remaining days, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, it's because it's more about it's not even about your preparation or your content or anything like that. It's more about how will I anticipate what's going on, and by knowing
exactly
the audience, knowing the dynamic on that first day, you can rest easier. Plus, absolutely, you've been on your feet all day. You've been using your voice. Yeah, you're pretty knackered.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so I'd like to, on that note of preparing for the unexpected, have you ever had a time where things didn't go to plan in one of your training sessions, and could you share that story?
Of course. My favorite one is where I walked into a room, being me, ready to start the day. So the first, you know, that 15 minutes when everyone's coming in, started greeting people and realizing that they were super grouchy, like unhappy, angry even is what I would say. And then listening to the discussion in the room, I realized, okay, they think that this training session is some kind of punishment for an incident that had happened in the company. Now, I was aware that something had happened, but maybe not aware that people were not looking forward to the training and actually were quite resentful that the session had been put on. Mm. So I walked into a room of 15 people mean mugging, being really angry at me with lots on their chest to get off. Before I even had a chance to say good morning, I had a question from the room, which was, do you think it's fair that we have to sit in this session while senior leadership isn't there? I didn't even get to say, hi, I'm Dana, the trainer. And there was just this wall of anger. And I realized, okay, people are not going to be able to take in anything or learn anything in the session unless we get some of this emotion out. So the time that I would have used for intros, I had to modify that to be a kind of a let's get it out, bring it home kind of session, so that we could talk about what precipitated the session and how they were feeling, etc., so that we could get into the learning. I always think about that session because actually it has changed the way that I prepare with clients as part of the planning process. Now I have added in a question which goes something like, and how are the learners feeling about this session? Are they looking forward to it? Are they anticipating? Like I ask even more questions than I normally would to get all the background, because for that scenario, I thought I had asked all of the relevant and pertinent questions. So I did know that something had happened that precipitated the learning, but I don't think I had grasped what was going to be happening in the room. And so now I always make sure to dot the I's and cross the T's with that extra question before I go in.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a great sort of prevention's better than cure. Because I think, I'm listening to that and I'm sure some of our listeners are listening going, that's probably our worst nightmare. Like that, you haven't even started and it's already railroaded.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, but I also love that you've created this question that can just cover that off. When you're working with clients,
I need to know in advance. If you know that that's what you're going into, you can at least be a little bit more prepared. When it's a shock, those are the kinds of things that keep you up until 12:30 in the morning, wondering if it's going to happen or not.
It's a good survival story, absolutely.
Exactly.
So when you're talking to clients, so you got this question, what are the learners thinking about this training? And so that's a really great question. What if you get a client that comes to you and they're asking you to deliver a session that you don't have the content on already? It's something that's a bit new. You know that you can deliver it. How do you approach that process?
So firstly, I want as much information from the client as humanly possible, right? Why are they running the session and why right now? So what's precipitated this? What are the learning outcomes they want? What are the behaviors and attitudes they want to see changed? If this learning intervention was successful, how would they know it was successful? So I really want to be clear with them on what it is that they're trying to get out of the session. Now, I'm not one of those people who can block and say, okay, today I'm going to spend 30 minutes on the session. I'm more of a it needs to marinate girl. So I'm thinking about it and it's in my mind all the time. I'm thinking about it in the shower. I go for a walk. I'm thinking about it. I get some of my best ideas outdoors. I'm constantly jotting things down. I have an app when things come to my mind that I might want to use. And I want to give myself some time to come up with my own ideas before I jump into any research. Mm. Because for me, research can skew you and kind of limit your own ideas. So I want to have the bulk of my own ideas first before I go into any research and see what's out there. But I'm also a big fan of utilizing my personal learning network. Mm-hmm. So other facilitators who I know, I want to reach out to them, find out if they've done something similar, what kinds of things they've done in the space. I have a group of people who I've come up through the business with. We're always happy to bounce ideas off of each other. If I was really struggling and I needed a design assist, I can also draw from that network as well to help me. And another thing I do, which I think that people maybe don't use so much, is search for the hashtag on social media and see what comes up. Why do people not do this, right? Because people are posting so much exciting content out there. And if you just type into Google, you will probably never find it. But if you type into Instagram or to Twitter, that particular hashtag, sometimes really amazing stuff comes up that can really help you with your idea generation and with the design process.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I found you, but also I found some really cool icebreakers on YouTube that I've
YouTube.
Yeah. You just need a bit of time to like, and you can get lost. You know what YouTube's like. You're looking at icebreakers and then you're looking at like climbing Mount Everest in a minute.
And cats. Yeah. There's always cats.
Yeah, there's always cats. Hey, what app do you use to capture all of your ideas?
So I'm a Trello girl. so I do love Trello and I just like taking – it helps me keep myself on track, but then it just gives me somewhere to record things. If I'm in a pinch as well, just the Notes app is good for a brain dump.
Yeah.
You can put as many things in there, but I almost live my life powered by Trello.
Yeah. And for those listening that don't know what Trello is, we'll link to those in the show notes. Trello is an amazing like project tool, but it's very visual. It's like a visual board where it's kind of like virtual post-it notes almost.
Exactly. And I love post-it notes in real life, but being able to have them wherever I go because I travel a lot is very useful. And I think that's my project management agile background coming to the fore as well, because it's a tool that we used in work that I also use for myself as well.
Yeah, and that's right. You can use it. You don't have to use it only for work. I was booking an upcoming holiday and I'd all these ideas about what to do and hotels and activities and just Trello'd it.
That's so true. One of my friends who I work quite closely with did her wedding on Trello. It was amazing.
Wow, that's next level. I can imagine there would have been so many different columns and deadlines.
It was next level.
She should sell that template. I think it would be very popular. Hey, I'm interested in knowing, so now, you know, you've worked in the big four consulting firm and now you're a facilitator. What do you think are the key skills of not only a good facilitator but a next level facilitator? What do you think that the skills are of someone that wants to attain that kind of status?
So I think preparedness is important, right? There is a lot of work that maybe people don't see that goes into being an excellent facilitator. But in the same breath as that, you have to be prepared to be flexible. Mm. Like, you cannot be rigid, sticking to your lesson plan or your time plan. The classroom is a place of surprise. And I think the best facilitators can pull the learning out of what is happening in the room instead of sticking really strictly to a script. Mm. Sometimes you think something's going to be a big aha moment, but actually the group is picking up on something else and is having a bit of discussion around it. I think an excellent facilitator knows to let that discussion go, especially if it's useful for the group, knows how to ask pertinent questions, knows how to pivot in the moment to get the best that they can out of the learners who they're with and for them. Mm. So that you're still getting the learning objectives across, but being prepared to do it maybe in a different way than the way that you planned. I think that is one of the, that's a skill that takes you from being just a normal trainer facilitator to being an amazing trainer facilitator. Yeah.
And it really does take a lot of your active listening, a lot of seeing what's going on in the room. You never really relax.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're always sort of like that night owl just watching what's going on. Even when the group is doing activities, like, oh, what do I need to observe out of this?
You want to hear all the groups, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want, like, I want to hover, but I don't want to seem like I'm listening in, and it's just constant. It's, look, I think there's a lot of overthinking, and I think maybe over experience you do develop those, like having numerous things in your back pocket that you can go to, but I think...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what sort of, as a first-time facilitator, the only way that you can get better at it is just by continuing to do it.
Practice.
That's right. Now, do you have a go-to icebreaker? Like, do you have a favorite thing that energizes people, that gets everyone in the room? Like, really?
So it depends, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a public course where people don't know each other, I am very conscious that that first few moments of the day can be really intimidating, especially for people who maybe aren't as extroverted as the rest of the people in the group. So I always about icebreakers, I don't want to push it too far, but I still want people to be able to have fun and embrace the moment. So in a mixed group, what I like to do is start off with some one-on-ones, like greet as many people in the room as you can in 10 minutes. But I would include a fun question that you have to ask each person that you miss, or a way that you have to start off greeting each person, like top of the morning to you. And isn't it a wonderful day, good sirs, you have to say before you get into the introduction, and then a silly question that you have to ask them as part of the greeting. I think things that start off maybe a bit more one-on-one or small group, instead of please stand and introduce yourself and say some crazy fact to the room, puts a lot less pressure on people and gives them a bit of a chance to relax. So for me, that is something that I'm conscious about. I get that you have limited time and it's easier for everyone to stand and just introduce themselves, but I guarantee there is a person or people sitting there thinking, oh God, please no, not me.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I want to avoid that.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, I'm sort of one. It's funny because I'm one of those people. I am an extrovert. I get up in front of workshops. I do lots of speeches and things like that. But even in that scenario where you're in a new group and it's going around one by one, I'm not even listening to what the other people are saying because I'm thinking, what am I going to say in my introduction? And so you don't even really, you're not really in the moment yourself because you're just, everyone's worried about their own introduction. So.
Exactly. And you miss it. So I love more one-on-one small group stuff where you really get a chance to get to know the people who you're going to be learning with and more involved. And I would totally advocate that for anyone who is listening.
Yes, me too. Absolutely. Now, before we hit the record button on this, we were talking about, you know, me reaching out to you and you saying yes. And then that got us onto the topic of the themes for our year. And I think it's nice to share something like that with our audience. So what is your theme for the year and why did you decide to choose that?
My theme for this year is say yes. So sometimes opportunities fall into my lap and I think, oh no, I'm not sure about this. You know, there's that element of self-doubt still, even though I am an experienced facilitator. And at the end of last year, I went to a session that was helping us reflect on the year that had gone by, and we created, you know, our vision for our new year. And something that really popped out at me was this idea of saying yes and embracing things and seeing where they go. And so that really has been what my year has been about so far. Opportunities that have come into my lap, I have been actively trying to say yes more. You reached out to me. I said yes.
Yay.
And look, here we are on a podcast. I've also done another interview already for the year. I'm just saying yes to things. So anyone who's listening and wants to ask me something, ask me, because chances are this year is the year I'm going to say yes.
Oh, I love it. And again, we've completely aligned on this. We love the same music. But I also, my year this year was the year of action. And yeah, that's kind of like saying yes, but also just taking the most of the opportunities. And I think having a kind of theme like that, like you said, it's very easy for that doubt to creep in, that imposter syndrome, that you know, that person in your head saying, oh, you're not ready for this. But if you have that theme and it's your default response, you can just, it doesn't matter because you just say yes and let's get on with it. It's been
exactly.
Yeah. For anyone that does have that kind of doubt within themselves, it's completely normal. I think we're all walking around, all of us, with a bit of self-doubt. Having a default theme like that, definitely recommend.
Now, I agree completely.
Yeah. Now, Dana, what is there any other advice that you could offer to our first-time facilitators that are listening in?
So the first thing is get out there as much as you can. Say yes. Okay. So the only way to become better at the skills of facilitation is to actually facilitate. If you're feeling nervous, maybe find someone that you can buddy up with to deliver sessions. Always a good idea. But really, you want to be spending as much time as possible actually facilitating, because that's how you get better, is the first thing. The second thing is, don't be afraid to borrow from other facilitators who you think are awesome. What I like to do is attend training sessions myself, but I like to do it incognito. I don't want to put any pressure on the facilitator who's facilitating until the very end. I'm there to learn what the course is about, but I also find that I always pick up some facilitation tips that I can add to my arsenal as I watch other facilitators do what they do. So don't be afraid to attend some training courses yourself. It's always great. Go to meetups, right? Anything where you can see other facilitators in action is great. And then try and incorporate some of those things into the stuff that you do on a day-to-day basis.
That's brilliant, brilliant advice. And I especially agree with your role modeling. I'm actually doing, I'm in a 2-day workshop at the moment as a participant, and I've just been picking up on so much that I can learn and just writing it down, even little simple activities.
Exactly.
Making notes. I need to get Trello on my phone, actually, just so, because I've got like 10 different notepads at the moment. Actually, I'm getting the new iPad, so I'll be carrying that with me everywhere. And also role modeling. I think after this conversation, a lot of people would probably wish they were in London attending one of your workshops, because You can tell you just are so passionate about this. You really invest that time and to make it an energetic and fun experience. And I think we all appreciate that. All of us that have been to corporate sessions or technical training, we are a bit bored of the old approach of a manual and just the status quo. So it's it's great to see someone challenging that. So finally, Dana, where can people find you?
Where can they find me? Well, on social media is a great place to be able to find me. My website as well, www.danathetrainer.com. And from there, you link to all of my social media. Don't be afraid to drop me an email, to reach out. I love connecting with people. Like I said, I'm always on there as well, searching those hashtags. I think it's great to build a network, especially of people who are facilitators as well. So please do find me. And I'm on email as well, dana@danathetrainer.com. You can't forget that. It's really easy to remember.
It's very sticky, and I definitely suggest that you follow Dana, especially because of all the colourful moments. It'll just colour up your social media feed. So thank you so much for being on the show. I can't wait to share this episode with our listeners. I think you've provided some really practical advice, but also given us some aspiration on how we can lift our energy levels. I wish we had your energy, but there are things that we can do in the room to make that fun for everyone. So thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so nervous, but this was actually so much fun. Just like a conversation with a friend. So it's been great. Thank you so much. I am thrilled that I said yes.
I'm thrilled that you said yes too. Chat soon. Thanks so much for tuning in to First Time Facilitator. If you liked the episode, please share it with your mates or subscribe to the podcast feed in iTunes. Till next time.